Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We're going to be talking today about one of my favorite subjects. What's that? Dogs. Yes. Those of you that listen to the show know that I'm an avid dog lover, and so is the gentleman that I have as a guest today, Fred Haney. We're going to be talking about his delightful book titled My Doggy Says, and this is all about messages from Jamie, and Jamie is a golden lab that's just absolutely gorgeous to look at. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Fun to be here with you.
Well, I really enjoyed your book. I thought you did a very nice novel twist with Jamie being the educator in the book. But I'd like for you to give me a little bit, and my audience, a background of why you have such a passion for animals and what makes Jamie so special.
Well, I've always enjoyed animals, although I haven't always had pets. My family didn't have pets. Maybe we had a rabbit and a cat once in a while, but we didn't have dogs. What really got me hooked on Jamie was a trip to do some photography in Yellowstone National Park with my son, who at the time was doing some professional outdoor photography. And we spent about a week in Yellowstone with one of the top wildlife photography guides. And one afternoon in particular that just kind of stuck out for me, it really captured me, we spent a whole afternoon photographing a single coyote.
Oh, my heavens.
And, I mean, we were kind of tracking him. He was tracking us. And the magic of it was that our guide really knew how to read his body language. He could read the coyote's body language. And he could tell when the coyote was nervous about having us around. He could tell when he was going to try and fake us out and start this way around the hill, but circle back and come back that way. And finally, the coyote kind of gave up trying to get rid of us. I guess he could have just taken off across the horizon if he'd wanted to. But he gave up trying to shake us loose, and he just started to hunt. And we, for 3 or 4 hours, we stood and watched that coyote hover over vole holes. And the vole would, is like a little ground squirrel. The vole would stick his head up, and the coyote would jump 3 feet in the air. And as soon as that coyote got off the ground, three cameras on autopilot went bang, 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 bang. And we got some fabulous pictures. And the whole trip just made me more aware of animal body language. And when I got back home, I determined to pay a little more attention to Jamie's body language. At that time, she was probably about 6 years old. And I just started to realize that she was sending me more messages than I had any idea. And it's not so much through her posture or how she was standing or how her tail was wagging or some of the more standard kinds of things. It was her behavior. She stopped in the middle of our morning jog. And finally, I figured out that that meant one of two things, usually. It either meant, hey, there's a pine cone over there. Could I go retrieve it? After all, I am a golden retriever. Or it meant, I got some pine needles and leaves caught in my tail feathers. Would you please clean them out for me? But it always meant something. You know, she didn't just stop for no reason. So I started paying attention to those little behaviors that would make me stop and scratch my head and say, well, what's she trying to tell me? And I guess the real aha moment was when I realized that almost any time she did something that seemed a little out of the ordinary, there was probably a message there. She was probably trying to tell me something if I could just sort of break the code and figure it out. So that's when I really started to get fascinated by the communication. I started taking a lot of photographs and writing little stories, and that's what led to My Doggy Says.
Now, with your book, you give lessons in there, and of course they're coming from Jamie, which is very quaint. But there are so many ways that animals do communicate, and it really does take paying attention. I've yet to meet anyone who has a pet. It can be a hamster, it can be a dog, and cats, but dogs especially seem to have quite a way of communicating. I know my little Scotty does. He lets me know if he's bored. He lets me know if he finds the food put down on the floor is just not exactly what he wants at that moment. I mean, it's amazing how they will let you know if they want companionship, if they're lonely, if they're frustrated. I mean, they really do communicate very well. Now, you have, am I correct, a radio show where you talk about things like this all the time?
I do have. It's called the My Doggy Says Show.
And when you do, when did you start the show?
We've been doing it for almost 3 years now, so 2008, and it's broadcast live on Wednesday nights in KFNX in Phoenix.
Well, I imagine you have got a very, very loyal audience.
We have a lot of fun with it. I have, my guests are authors and dog trainers, primarily, you know, people who are doing things in the dog world, and the lessons are dog appreciation, you know, sort of understanding what dogs are all about and trying to appreciate them a little better, communication, and what I call dog bonding, which is building stronger relationships with a dog, and of course the communication is a real important part of that.
Well, now let's talk about the bonding. I had a conversation with someone just yesterday where we were exchanging dog stories, as all dog lovers do, and I said I had an attitude that if I was going to be getting a dog, I wanted to know how they felt about me, because if they didn't want to be with me, then I really didn't feel like that was the animal for me. And we've had, my husband and I have both had some very special experiences with this. But that's not necessarily the type of bonding that you're talking about. What would Jamie say about bonding?
I think Jamie would say, I really appreciate, Fred, that you let me be in a relationship with you. You didn't just train me to sit and stay and heal. And you didn't just force me to obey your commands. You listened to what I was trying to say. You responded to what I was trying to say. You did things my way sometimes. You were willing to play tug of war with me when I came and presented a tug toy. You were willing to let me swim when I asked to swim, and that's such an important part of my personality, and you really nurtured that side of me. So it's a give and take, which is really a little at odds with some of the conventional dog training. Not all. The philosophies of dog training are changing a little bit. But a lot of dog training has focused on obedience,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting your dog to do what you wanted to do. And some trainers would say, oh, you should never play tug of war with your dog because it teaches it to be aggressive. Well, I understand that. I mean, if you let it get out of hand, it can teach the dog to be aggressive. But why not let your dog call the shots and let it make some of the decisions? So I think that, I could give an example with Jamie. This is one of my favorite examples that I think she would call out.
Sure.
And a lot of this has to do with breeding. You know, what are they bred to do? What are they made out of? You know, you're really trying to understand their personalities and nurture their personalities. But one morning on our morning jog, my wife and I were running with Jamie, and my wife's picture had been in a little local newspaper, so we picked up 4 copies of it and rolled them up in a roll, and I was carrying those home. The last mile, we have a jog uphill. And Jamie kept looking back at me, kind of stopping, hesitating, looking back, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. You know, it was one of these magic moments. Why is she doing that? What's she trying
mm-hmm.
to tell me? And my wife said, well, maybe she just wants you to pay attention to her. So I leaned over and gave her a nice scratch on her ears and her throat, which she liked. And then we went on, but that didn't seem to solve the problem. So we're both saying, what is going on? What is she trying to tell us? And finally, my wife said, I bet she wants to carry the newspapers. So I put the wad of newspapers in her mouth, and she just held her head up high. She was prouder than could be. After all, I'm a golden retriever. And she just pranced all the way home with those newspapers in her mouth. So there's a couple lessons there. I mean, one is sometimes it's like detective work to try and figure out what the dog is saying. But then the other thing is, once you do figure it out, sometimes it requires a response. You have to do something about it. And when you do something about it, you've made the dog feel good. You've given the dog some space, some responsibility, and they really respond to that and feel good about it. So I to me, that's the kind of thing that relationships are made out of, and that's sort of what dog bonding is about. If we have time, I'll tell you my story about playing soccer with Callie, which is another bonding moment every day.
Oh, and she's a beautiful dog. You know, people can go to your website, and you've got all kinds of photos and videos there and everything else, and Callie is just gorgeous.
Callie's a pretty dog. Her mom and dad are agility champions, both U.S. and Canadian, and she's not competing, but she's got the genes, and she's very athletic. She is a pretty dog. She's got that lovely kind of golden retriever face that you like to look at.
Mm-hmm.
The website is mydoggysays.com, www.mydoggysays.com. And I'm proud of it because we spent about 6 months last year rebuilding it. It was primarily a blog, so there was a lot of content there, but to find it, you had to thread your way back through the blog archive.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've sort of flipped it around so you can get at a lot of content with just a couple mouse clicks.
Tell us your story about Callie, because she is beautiful. In fact, she really has a love of tennis balls, doesn't she?
Callie loves tennis balls. And it's an interesting thing because Jamie was not a ball dog. Jamie's favorite thing to do was to jump in Lake Arrowhead and retrieve a cloth frisbee, sort of a floppy disc. But if you threw a ball to her, she just let it hit her on the head. She's just like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And I lost Jamie just about the time my books got back from the printer. It was a bit of a shock.
Oh.
She was diagnosed with canine lymphoma. We grieved for a while, and one day my wife said, I found a litter of goldens on the Internet. I think we ought to go take a look. And several months later, Callie came to live with us. And
wow.
The day she showed up at our house, she went out in the backyard, and I still to this day don't know why there was a underinflated soccer ball sitting in the backyard, because we weren't playing soccer at the time. It must have been left over from some kids, our kids. And she ran around behind that ball and hunched down behind it. She was probably not as big as the ball. She got down behind it and looked me right in the eye and said, okay, Fred, show me what you got. It was just so clearly an invitation to play. So
amazing.
I went and gave the ball a little kick, and she ran and trapped it under her tummy, which was hard for her to do. She couldn't get all four paws to the ground because the
mm-hmm.
ball was bigger than she was. But she did do that, and we've played soccer every day since then. She's 4 years old now, just 4 years old, and we play soccer every day. And now it's graduated to what I call nosers. You know, when you kick the ball up in the air, if you're a person, you bonk it off your forehead. That's a header. When you're a golden retriever, your nose gets in the way, and it becomes a noser. And if I kick the ball up in the air, she'll jump up as high as she can, a couple feet in the air, and sock it with her nose and makes a loud bonk because this ball is very underinflated. It's a real soft ball, so it doesn't hurt her. And she just loves to do that. And the faster I get it back up in the air, the happier she is. We do that vigorously for about 15 minutes every day.
Now, Fred, your book is a very comfortable read. When you put together the lessons from Jamie, what two lessons are your favorite in the book that you felt Jamie needed to share with people?
Well, probably my favorite is the story I told about the newspaper. and kind of figuring out, because that was so hard to decode. But the other one that was really fun had to do with her swimming in Lake Arrowhead. And it was a long sequence of things that started to unfold. The minute she saw me open the front hall closet at our Lake Arrowhead home and take my green backpack out, that was the signal that we were going to go to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to get excited. She knew what was coming. She knew the whole drill. So she would go hydrate, and she'd take a big drink of water. She'd sit by the door and wait for us to put her leash on, because there are leash laws. And we would drive just about a half a mile to our parking place, and then we had to walk down 100 steps to get to the shoreline. Callie knew which steps to go down. She knew which way to turn. She knew which was our dock. She would just tug on the leash.
Now, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm fighting off a little cold here.
Oh, I thought something happened to the phone line.
No, I just had to hit my cough button for a minute.
Okay,
so
that's fine.
She would tug on the leash and drag us right to the dock. And then there are two metal dock boxes on the dock. She knew which one her Frisbee was in. She would go stand by that one and look you in the eye and say, okay, please get my Frisbee out so we can play. As soon as the Frisbee came out, then she'd go wait for the gate to open so she could run out. And then we would throw her Frisbee in the water, and she would chase it and retrieve it and swim all the way back to shore and run out the dock again and just go in circles. And she would have done it all day if we'd let her.
Dogs have a very special place in our lives, and it goes back centuries, thousands and thousands of years, the relationship with people. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier was about knowing the breed to have an understanding of the animal. Now, in our household, terriers have always taken a very significant positioning, and they're a lot like cats. They're very independent. They've got minds of their own. But each and every dog we've ever had has had their own way of communicating. They have the particular patterns that are with their personality. And I think anybody who's listening that's an avid animal lover will say, oh, yeah, I can identify with that. My dog is this way, my cat is this way, etc. It's really a challenge, I think, for a lot of people because they fall in love with puppies. Puppies are absolutely precious and adorable, but the temperament and personality of a dog is so absolutely important to be aware of, because you may get a hunting dog, and the last thing you want to do is get up at 5 in the morning and take him out for a 5-mile run. I mean, that may not be your favorite activity in the world, as much as you might like that breed of dog. You have on your website what looks like an online test for people to determine what kind of a dog they really should have.
Are they talking about the gallery?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a gallery. That's interesting. We didn't really put it up for that purpose, but the gallery does have little quotes beside the images so people can sort of see what the dog might be saying.
And it said there's an online test to see which dog they are. So identifying with particular breeds really does make a difference, because they all have their temperaments. And retrievers, oh my goodness, they're just known for being great with families. They're friendly, but they are active dogs. I mean, just what you're describing, they have to be out and about. They want to run, they want to swim, they want to be busy.
I may be cheating a little bit to be talking so much about my experience with golden retrievers, because they really are communicative. They're very sensitive and get along great with kids. I do think they communicate a lot. They listen a lot. They're interactive. They're very social, maybe more than some dogs. I'm wondering if you're referring to, a couple blogs on the website where on my show I had people give their dog one of the DNA breed tests.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting thing. It doesn't always work, but if it does work, you get some. If you didn't know the breed of your dog or the mix, sometimes they usually mixed breeds, so maybe you'll get two breeds. It can be useful information to know because it affects the way you feed a dog and the way you train it and the way you exercise it and some of its health experiences. You know kind of what to look out for if you know the dog's breeding. So it can be real valuable to do that. One of the people who did it was a vet, and he had figured out one of the breeds of his dog, and I'm not going to remember now what it was, but he didn't know the other, and it really helped him to know the other because it changed the way he exercised the dog and the way he fed it.
Mm-hmm. It can make a big difference. Also, you have some information on your website about the Phoenix Children's Hospital, and there is a special program called Dine with Your Dog program. What is that all about?
Those photos are fun, aren't they? That's a fundraiser that they do in Phoenix, and it is a fun post to see on the website because there are some really elaborate color photographs of dogs. The people do a fundraiser every year, and they pay to go have dinner in somebody's backyard, formal attire, with their dogs, who are also addressed formally. And, you know, there's a cocktail lounge for the dogs and a puppy treat pit and places for people to have their food, and you can sit and eat with your dog and the other folks' dogs. It's very formal, but it's a fundraiser for, I think, not just one, but multiple rescue organizations. The people I've had the most contact with are the Arizona Golden Retriever Connection people. They're in Phoenix. So I think they benefit from that, but they may not be the only rescue organization that benefits from that. It's just a great rescue fundraiser project. But if you go to the website, www.mydoggysays.com, and just search on the site for Dine with Your Dog, that post will pop right up. Those are really fun photographs, I thought.
Oh, they are. They're really, really cute. Now, Fred, with your book, when you wrote it, what really was your purpose for writing it? Were you just doing it to honor Jamie because Jamie's no longer with you now? Or did you really just want to have something that you could share with kids and adults to give them a better understanding of animals?
Donna, that's a great question. And the real answer is that the answer kind of changed as it went. I didn't start out with the idea of publishing a book. I started out with the idea of capturing some photographs and writing some stories sort of for family.
Mm-hmm.
And then it grew. And then as I got more into it, I realized that there was a real strong message there about how much dogs communicate. I don't think most people have any idea how much their dog is communicating with them. And, you know, one of the taglines we use is, well, what if your dog was trying to tell you something really important and you didn't get it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's happening all the time. I think dogs communicate a lot, and a lot of the messages are unheard. The more I realized that, the more I sort of expanded the book and tried to sharpen up the message a little bit. And I also think it's not just about communication. I mean, the communication all by itself doesn't really get you anywhere. It's also the nurturing the relationship.
You talk also on your radio show how people can train their animals. You also have discussed animal rescue and paranormal stories regarding animals. Do you have a favorite one that you'd like to share, perhaps that one of your guests has told on the air?
Well, we have had several people who have had some good stories. One in particular who has had a lot of success at helping people find their dogs when they're missing. When somebody will call her on the phone and she'll say, well, have you checked the mailbox 2 miles down the street from the river? always kind of blows me away. But one of my favorite stories is just a personal example. I've always been a little skeptical about these things. And my wife arranged one time for an animal psychic to come to our house. And at the time, we had Jamie and another dog and a cat and a bird who features a little bit in My Doggy Says Messages from Jamie. His bird is Tiki, the blue-fronted Amazon parrot. And the animal psychic spoke for a while with Jamie, and, you know, the messages were, she likes the food you're feeding her, and she likes the exercise she gets, and she's really happy living here. And, you know, there's nothing that blew me away particularly. Sort of the same thing when she talked to the cat and the other dog. But then she had a little conversation with Tiki, the blue-fronted Amazon parrot, and she said, "Tiki told me about riding down the hallway on Jamie's back." And my wife looked at, and I looked at each other and said, "Holy cow." I mean, that was a true story. We had put her on Jamie's back one time, and Jamie walked down the hallway with this blue-fronted Amazon parrot on her back. Now, where that came from, only the paranormal knows.
Well, it does add a little bit of spice to life, doesn't it?
That made me a believer. I don't know if it's sort of extended intuition or you know, if we're all tuned into a different plane or quite what that's all about. I'm open to some things like that. But and it's an interesting point, because I do think that communicating with dogs at any level does require you to expand your intuition a little bit. It requires you to open yourself up. You have to sort of let stuff in that before maybe wasn't making a whole lot of sense. It's all this stuff about, well, why'd my dog do that? Are there some patterns here? Why is she pulling me this way? Why is she pulling me that way? One night, just to give another example, after a trip to Lake Arrowhead Village, my wife and my daughter and her husband, the four of us, had gone in to welcome Santa Claus, and afterwards we came back and I took to our house and I took Callie out for a little walk, and all of a sudden she started to pull me real hard toward our car. And when she does that, if it's not going to cause a problem, I try and go along with it. Well, okay, so something's going on. She smells something she wants to respond to. So I let her tug me over by our car, and she sniffed from the back left tire and sniffed down the left side of the car toward the front. And around the front, sniff, 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 sniff. I mean, this takes a couple minutes. And then she started to work her way back down the other side. And then all of a sudden, she kind of lunged down and picked something up. And in the dark, I couldn't see what she had. For all I knew, it was a dead rat or something. I mean, I just couldn't tell. And then we merged back into some light. And it was my daughter's hat. She had one of these little Russian caps that keep your head real warm, a fur cap that would keep your head warm on a cold winter day, and it had fallen out of the car. She dropped it when she got out, and Callie had sniffed that from, you know, probably 30 yards away, and then went and chased it down. And the message for me was, one, to respect the fantastic nose that she had, that she was able to sort of sniff that out from such a distance. But two, that I let her have her way. You know, I let her call that shot. It was a chance for her to kind of show off and do her thing, and it turned out to be a really fun experience.
Well, Fred, this book, My Doggy Says, Messages from Jamie, I think makes a wonderful read. It would make a great gift for someone that knew a dog lover, and it could just be terrific just to give it to them. And going to your website, mydoggysays.com, they'll find videos. They're going to be able to listen to interviews that you've had with some of the top authors and animal specialists from all over the country. So So your website is just absolutely wonderful, and it's been a delight having you on the show today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Donna. It was fun to visit with you.
And you take care of that cold.
Oh, yeah. Thanks very much.
It's my pleasure. Fred Haney, My Doggy Says, messages from Jamie. Go to his website, mydoggysays.com. Great stuff on there. You'll love the photos and everything else. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. RawEnergyRadio.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in to if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. It's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. By the way, I want to say thank you on the air to a wonderful talk show host who is going to be putting up the interview that we did today on our iPodcast. Her name is Yvonne Perry, and I'll be giving you some information as to where you can go to get it. She asked me some of the best questions regarding intuition and how to develop it and so on and so forth. So we had a wonderful conversation this afternoon, and I was surprised. I didn't think I was going to be on for almost a full hour, but I was. And her website is oneinspirit.com. That's Yvonne Perry, oneinspirit.com. So she is going to be putting that up so people can get it via podcast. I wanted to let you know. Okay, I'm going to be sharing some odds and ends with you, but before I get into that, don't forget you can give me a call at 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, as a guest, we're going to be talking about the art of navigation. Felix Wolff is a man who studied with a master, if you will, of mind skills, and it transformed his life. So we're going to be talking about that, and I know we've got a caller on the line. I'll be getting right to you. Friday, we're going to be talking about bringing progress to paradise. Jeffrey Rathley is going to be my guest. This man is a world traveler, and he has just got some real interesting stories to share about people whose worlds at the top of the world, the Himalaya Mountains, are changing dramatically because of technology. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hey, Donna. It's Rebecca, and I'm calling from San Jose, California.
Hi. Is the sun shining down there, Rebecca?
Oh, it's beautiful. You get about 78 degrees.
Oh, gee whiz. Did you have to throw that in?
I can say it was 76, if that'd make you feel better.
No, it doesn't make me feel any better. I mean, we're still getting the 30s here. So not so much during the day, but at night it really gets cold. But I know San Jose is just absolutely gorgeous. And, of course, it's very temperate, and the weather's wonderful. That's why people move to California, for heaven's sake. They're warm there in the winter, at least usually. I think that some people figured out they were going to have flood insurance big time by the time Mother Nature got through with everything. But
I know. I'm getting a buzzing sound. You hear that? Now it's gone. Okay.
No, but you were cutting out. You're on a cell phone, aren't you?
No, I'm on a handheld. Is that better?
Yeah, now you're better because you were sort of popping out there for a little bit. So who knows?
Okay.
You know, we have these wonderful gremlins that just love to get into technology's equipment and say, see, don't think I can't affect you. I still can. Anyway, let's get down to business with you, Rebecca. First thing on the table of information is the fact that you cannot let up the drive and the determination that you must continue to push forward with. There is a lot that is requiring attention to detail. It's a little frustrating to you because you feel like you've got a lot of repetition that is going on in your life, and you're going, I'm really tired of this stuff. When am I going to get rid of it? All I want to say to you is be patient. Do not try to make things go any faster than they are, but do take care of all the little fine detail points. In the details are the values that you need so that you can achieve and accomplish what you want. And there is a friend of yours that I honestly feel you just need to sort of smack your hands together and say, that's it, no more. I'm washing my hands of this situation. I am not going to get involved. I am not going to try to fix anything. I love you dearly, but you got to do this on your own. And the friend may get a bit miffed. Don't worry about that. They'll get over it. But I do think you are learning how to say no to people. And this has been something you've been working on for quite a while. This isn't something that has been easy for you to accomplish, but you're getting pretty good at it. Also, continue your reading. Continue your involvement in classes off and on. Continue being aware that all of these baby steps that you've been taking over the past 3 to 4 years for your own personal level of accomplishment and fulfillment, they're getting you a lot farther than you realize. You're not able to see it yet. But I think by the end of 2012, you'll see what you've really accomplished in a bigger picture than you do right now. What did you want to ask me about there?
I just kind of check in, so I really don't have anything to ask.
Well, you've got a lot of work this year, but that's okay. You're up to the task.
Yeah. I've been on the road, and so I just wanted a confirmation that I'm heading down the right way. I felt I was, but I could check in every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do know your phone is still cutting out a little bit, hon. So anyway, you take care. Hope your battery isn't running down on you.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you got very garbled there, but thanks ever so much for calling in. Donna Siebel, give me a buzz if you'd like a chat, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I wonder if any of you ladies listening have ever been told by a man, women cannot read maps. Have you ever had that told to you? I know my husband has said that to me. I prefer maps. I just don't like regular directions. I prefer reading maps. If I have maps in front of me, I always know where I'm going to be going. Well, I found that is not necessarily true. But there is a psychologist, Marcia Reynolds, that I thought nailed some very good points appropriately. So many things are stated as fact about gender issues. Women can't do this. Men can't do that. All of this nonsense. And she said when she was doing her research for a publication where she was saying, stop praising the differences in men and women, she said she had found she had a lot of preconceived ideas herself. She had just adopted them because that's what had always been around. That's what people would say. And so often, without realizing it, we do that. We just say, well, so-and-so said it, and I guess it's got to be true. Well, she said, I used to believe that women change the subject more frequently than men do, finally getting back to an original point after a while. And she said, boy, when she started really paying attention to conversation, she said, my male companion was always, always changing the subject more frequently than I was. In fact, I was the one that was trying to get to the point. But somehow or another, he'd want to ignore it. He'd just go off. It all is based on individual differences that we have as people. She said she also had thought that women are more collaborative and less commandeering than men. Well, have you ever met a bossy female? Woohoo! Yes, she said she found when she started doing her research and doing her own personal observation homework that male coaches that she worked with were sometimes more team-oriented than the women on the job. She said she used to think that women multitask and men just focus, but she said that's not true. Everybody multitasks to a degree, but women seem to hone in on whatever is their focus with a lot more intensity than men do. I will interject an opinion here. It has been my observation that most women, the reason they are considered to be better at multitasking than men is because typically we had to deal with children, barking dogs, washing machines, and, you know, doing dishes and all kinds of things that go on. Men have learned, primarily because the culture encourages it, to really be more focused many times than women typically can be. But by golly, when a female decides that this is something that needs her attention, she's got it. It's there. She hones in, and she's got it right on the mark. So I think with both men and women can be very, very intense. And again, so it's just a variable with the individual. So she said her opinions have changed about a lot of things. So these are some of the suggestions that she has made. One, stop generalizing about which gender does something better. Two, start acknowledging it's about individuals, not type. And three, quit praising our differences and honor how the best of us, men and women, are more powerful together. Boy, I like that attitude. Sometimes I get very, very weary of the fact that there is a compartmentalization that is often done by people because, again, this is what they've been raised with. It's something that was common conversation. It's like used to be, oh, women just couldn't possibly be doctors. They can't stand the sight of blood. Goodness gracious, I knew a number of guys that would faint if they saw a drop of blood on the end of their toenail. I mean, they'd just go, boom. Or they show them a needle, they pass out. So, I mean, that's really silly. But these generalizations occur, and they occur for various reasons. And who cares why they occur? We want to deal with the facts. And the facts are men and women, if they know that they want to do something, they can go out and they can do it. If they qualify and meet whatever the standards are, great. Who cares whether it's male or female? It's taken a long time for us to get to that particular point, and I don't think we're totally over the hill on it yet, but I think we're getting to the peak, and hopefully with the younger generation, they're going to even be a little bit wiser and realize it's not your gender that counts. What counts is can you do the job? And can you do it with a level of excellence, integrity, and passionate purpose? Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888 815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Every time I think that somebody cannot come up with a unique idea of doing something, well, I came across a fellow that has a very unique way of painting. And I've got a picture of one of his paintings. It's a parrot. It's very colorful. But I never would have guessed in a million years he had done it with his butt. Yes, it's called butt painting, B-U-T-T painting. His name is Stan Mermer. He is an artist from Virginia. He's the pioneer of this unique painting application. And what it does, what he does, he has to put his tush in paint and then stamp it on a canvas. I'm telling you, that's such a visual. Anyway, I'm not going to go too much into this, but I just thought this was just unbelievable. But what he's done, he's created butt print tulips, butterflies, and parrots by using this method, among other things. And he's actually sold some of his work. I was going to say, how does he sign his name? But anyway, we will just leave that one alone. But I couldn't pass that one up. I thought, oh my goodness, people have to come up with all kinds of innovative ways. You know, in South America, those huge patterns that people discovered years ago that they can see from the air. Well, I've got some information on an Australian artist. His name is Ando. Now, he's a mining engineer, but he did something that is absolutely a demonstration that you can do a design. I've got a picture of it in front of me. It's a picture of a face of a cowboy with a hat. He did, actually, he calls it a smiling stockman. It covers 1.5 square miles of the Mundi Mundi Plains in New South Wales. He took a tractor, exposed the red earth. It took him 1 year to create the artwork. The portrait is visible 1.2 miles from above. This photograph is absolutely amazing. So when you are seeing this art that maybe is thousands of years of age, that people say, oh, this how in the world could this have been done? There's an Australian that's doing the equivalent with a heck of a lot more detail using a tractor. It's absolutely amazing what he was able to do. So just a little bit of trivia there. People are phenomenal. Nature's phenomenal. Life is exciting. It's absolutely amazing. And that's why you've always got to keep your mind and your attitudes open. I say you've always got to do that because you don't know what's going to come your way that is going to open you to new possibilities and opportunities in your life. If you go around with your mind closed like a steel trap, you have an attitude that you know it all and that there's just no way things can change. This is just the way it is. I'm sure you've heard people that talk like that. Oh, my goodness. I grew up around some people like that, and they'd say, well, this is the way it is, and that's just, you just need to know that. I mean, we've got relatives that have that kind of attitude. I've got friends that have that kind of attitude, and I look at them and go, that's really sad because there's so much potentiality. I met a lady yesterday. She's going to be a guest on my show next month, and she's 89 years young. Her first name is Renata. You're going to be hearing all about this amazing woman. She's a world-renowned artist. I'm talking with this woman, chatting with her, interviewing her, and I am astonished. She totally belies the image you would have of someone that's 89 years of age. She has a vitality, a joy of life that's marvelous. She's an artist. She paints. When she picks up that paintbrush, her canvases come alive with history and with people. And again, she's going to be on my show on the 9th of next month, I believe it is. And she is just amazing. And I looked at her and I thought, wow. When I get to be 89, I hope that I am as impressive to other people with enthusiasm for life and living life with the passion that she is. She said, someone asked her, why don't you just retire? She said, what for? It's so boring. Why do you want to do that? She's got a wonderful attitude. And so when I'm sharing these little goodies with you today, I know they're sort of trivial, but remember, it takes imagination, it takes creativity to make life interesting. And part of that has to come from you. Part of it you have to lift up and out of yourself so that you can recognize that there is more to life than what maybe you're experiencing right in this moment. And one of the best ways to do it is by reading, watching programs about different parts of the world, different cultures, going to classes, having conversations with perfect strangers of different backgrounds, putting yourself in a volunteer environment that's going to teach you about some things. Maybe you'll learn what you like and you don't like, what you do and don't like in a new way. But it's being alive. It's not just sitting in a stagnant pool of nothing. So life really is rich and full. And I just love to see all of these variables that go on so many different levels of life. And I love to see young students that have the imagination for problem solving and when they're encouraged to do things, or like our guest today, Fred Haney, working with animals, having the interest to expand his own paradigms and dealing with them. This is wonderful stuff. And it should encourage you, and I hope you are encouraged by that, encouraged by some of the people that I have. Well, by the way, we are almost out of time here, so I'm going to have to be saying goodbye, but remember, we've got a wonderful guest tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Felix Wolf, who had a phenomenal series of life experiences and trainings with a shaman, and one that's very familiar to many of you. So we'll be talking with him tomorrow about the art of navigation. Remember, always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. I look forward to having you join me tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.